It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Already some thoughts and questions coming in. But from the mind of Corey Majors, will you make the Rangers a priority watch this year, or do they have to earn it? From you, 877-881-1053. Now, I wanted to throw this out there real quick because somebody already asked this question. How successful was the Texas Rangers network in 2025, and will they continue the network in 2026? The answer to the second question is yes. The answer to the first question is more complicated depending on who you ask. Because at first, it seemed like it was very, very successful, especially for a startup. There have been some things that have suggested that perhaps it's lagged a little bit more, and maybe that's part of the reason that Ray Davis has been less apt to spend money. So I think the answer to that question is a little bit more complicated. But it will be back this year.
In that conversation, The simulcast pregame show, I thought that it was pretty good because they were carrying it here on the station too, and I thought that that was fine. Now, obviously, I just love Eric and Matt. I think that they're just phenomenal play by play.
So,
listening to the game's always great. I've told Dave Raymond many times, and told Mike, and haven't really gotten the chance to tell. I've told David Murphy too. The product looked wonderful. They did some things that I thought was like visually were really cool, but even better, I like Dave Raymond's storytelling about stadiums.
When they
go on the road, Mike will ask him, he'll be like, "Hey, you did this. Can you tell me a little more about why this is?" And then Dave will explain it all. And I think that's really cool because not all of us, Kevin, I don't know if you know, but in the NFL, only about 7% of people have ever been able to get into a stadium.
Yeah, I've heard that.
And so I feel like with baseball, it might be kind of a similar number, but Dave kind of brings that to your room, to your living room, and kind of tells you that story, and I liked that. So I hope it did well. I can see from an owner's perspective how they're looking at a regional sports network number, and they're like, we made this much off of them. And they're like, we spent this much and only made this much this year. Not good enough. That was year one.
Yeah, exactly. My argument would be it's year one and you have ownership of this. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's different than when you put it out to the RSNs, which, by the way, every baseball team has now separated from that RSN because, like, the last nine came through. But you also have ownership of this. But that's another fascinating thing when Manfred's like, we will have control of all of these in X number of years. Does that mean the MLB is going to go around doing a whole bunch of buyouts? Or is there going to be a deal where they're like, yeah, I know you did own it, but now coming into the fold. I don't know how that financial aspect is going to work.
So I'd like to ask you a couple questions here.
Yes.
Regarding this. When Bruce Bochy arrived, he arrived with Nathan Eovaldi, he arrived with Jacob deGrom, and he arrived with an already ready to run Corey Seager and Marcus Semien, a team that was like a year ahead of schedule.
Sure.
But arrived just on time. And he was Bruce Bochy.
Yeah.
Skip Shoemaker is a guy that we're all excited about. He is a guy that we hear whispers about, and we know from his time in Miami just enough. But over time, he doesn't have the credentials to go along with what Bruce Bochy had.
Sure.
And that's I'm not knocking Skip, but I got more excited because we had a Boch. For the last 3 years, honestly, that's what kept me afloat, was the idea that Boch is here.
Yeah.
We can do it. We can figure it out somehow.
And that's just not the vibe for Shoemaker yet.
And it might be. And down the road, it might be. Like, we might hit the ground and go 25-0 and be like, what
in
the Sam Hell is happening? Okay, 24-1. How about that?
Okay. I feel like people would still be in.
Lose the first one, win the next 20.
Okay.
And which would then obviously Kevin would be like, see, I told you can't go 162-0.
Bochy agreed with me on that.
But so that's one. That's the first sell I think a lot of times is that manager. And I just don't know casual fans if they're going to be in on the manager. then Corey Seager's injury history has kind of put you in this like, I don't know if I can show up all the time for a guy that I'm just not sure when he's going to be in his groove. So he's a guy I like to watch. Wyatt is a guy I like to watch. Those two pitchers are people I have to watch for the rest of their careers. So there are some priority things for me for this. But man, last year put me in such a depressional funk that I could not get excited about a baseball game to save my life. I was trying, Kevin.
Yeah.
I enjoyed hearing Mike. I enjoyed hearing Eric and Matt and Jared do their thing. But man, I just felt like this offense was going to be like pulling teeth the entire time, and it was.
So when I considered your question, I thought about the question more from a, and I might be, you know, on my own on this. I thought about it from an August and September perspective, because I will tell you right now, I can't envision any world in which the Rangers ever have to earn my viewership or attention or listenership, however you want to put it, in March, April, and May. I just can't. Like, I grew up in the Metroplex. I'm very similar to this person from the 817. I will be watching the Rangers because they hold a special place in my heart. And I feel like that's...
You navigate sports with the season, too, a lot, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so, like, I cannot, even if I didn't have this job, I cannot envision a scenario in which, like, before the All-Star break, I was like, well, I'm out on the Rangers, but I'm still super intrigued by your question because I'm starting to see more and more people from the 4-6-9. They're gonna have to earn it. And then from the 5-6-1, I'll start out the new season as I always do with interest and open eyes. However, if our offense looks like it did last year, I might quickly bow out. And I've seen multiple people talking about that and saying earn. And one of the reasons is because they don't feel like the Rangers have put enough, I don't know, if you just think it's money or if you think it's time and effort as well, into making the team better, right?
Yes.
At least
that you're
paper.
Dead on right there. Something that makes me go, I got to go see this. Right now, I feel like I saw it. Nimmo isn't the injection of excitement for me.
No.
He could be, though. Because here's what I've always said. I've always said Nimmo can play on my outfield anytime. Because I have watched that dude play. He hustles. That being said, Adolis hustled last year in the outfield.
Sure.
It was at the plate where I was concerned about him. And Nimmo, I got thoughts on him. I hope I still get that hustle at this age from him. I am expecting to. But what at the plate can you do for me? Now, home runs aren't the only thing. Base runners, runs, scoring, whenever you need runs, being able to manufacture something or get something out of it, big time hits, excitement in baseball. I didn't get that last year.
Yeah.
So I'm a little stunted right now because I expected a World Series championship and that thing to kind of linger and us be in the mix all the time. And we just reverted back to farm system team.
Yeah, look.
Or trade candidate
God,
team.
And that's one of the reasons, by the way, I will always dislike people like Roger Clemens and Randy Johnson is because I always felt like they were just pretending.
Yes.
Like they might be interested in their
team. Yeah.
So another team would pick them up.
I'll go to Texas.
Yeah, but of course you will not. So somebody from the 817 brought up building the sport and the fan base, especially with the younger generation. And that's one of the things that you just said that I think ties into that is I don't know outside of kids who play baseball, and there are a lot of kids who play youth baseball, and I'm sure they're locked in to be like, oh my gosh, did you see the drop on that off-speed pitch? Or did you see the movement on that slider? I have no doubt. But like, if you're just a kid who doesn't play baseball, are you watching for that 1-0? Or are you watching because you're like, did you see how far Shohei just hit it? Can Stanton hit it farther? Can Judge? Can, you know, whoever?
Mm-hmm.
Like, because it just seems like that would lend itself more to kind of the highlight culture that I know really helps the NBA, especially since their commissioner said that's all you really have to watch. And so this Rangers team, at least on paper, doesn't look like it's set up for that. And then from the 972, I can't really explain this, but I'll give it a shot. But these same people are still watching the effing Cowboys 30 years later because, And I'm not, you're not wrong about the winning part, obviously. The Rangers have been to the World Series and won one of them three times in, what, the last 15 years? You double that, and the Cowboys haven't even gotten in the game to get to the championship game. But the reason why it's different is because the Texas Rangers, the baseball team, has never been part of national pop culture. It's
true.
It just never has. And so we all love the Texas Rangers. But think about it. You go back to the iconic look of Tom Landry, Sable with NFL Films, saying that, like, it's America's team and the hole is in the roof so God can watch his favorite team. That's how you pick up a fan in Taiwan or Oregon or wherever, that nobody ever goes, it was Cliff Lee time. That was outside of this Metroplex. It just didn't happen, with maybe the exception of when you picked up A-Rod. Then I felt like everybody was talking about the Texas Rangers or Nolan Ryan, but that, like, dissipated quickly. Whereas in the 80s, they were everywhere, even when they weren't that good. When they were the 90s, they were the talk of the NFL, when they were winning off the field and then when they weren't. And they have an owner that just for whatever reason attracts people. Now, sometimes it's for good reasons, sometimes it's for bad reasons. The Texas Rangers, they just have never had that for a long time. And that's why people still watch the Cowboys, because their grandpa watched it in the 60s and had their parents watch it, and then they have you watch it, and on and on and on. Where the Rangers, they almost lost the team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they had to bring in David Clyde immediately from high school to sell out games so the team didn't move.
Mm-hmm. The Rangers are your grandma's secret recipe. Nobody in the world knows about it except for you.
Sure.
And you love it so much.
Yeah.
And that's why you're excited to get more of it this year, because it's your grandma's secret recipe.
Sure.
That's what the Rangers really are for us. Everybody else, you know what? That's my new nickname for the Rangers, Grandma's Secret Recipe. Had a good one last night. That's what I'm reading. I'm excited. I love opening day. I love spring training.
For sure.
I will be there for it. How much of it can I handle if it's like it was last year? That's my biggest concern with this team.
And can I tell you if this makes sense? You're not the fan or the fan type that I think the Rangers need to be worried about, right?
No.
Because you're somebody who will always have a certain level of interest.
No, it's the ones that showed up in 2010 and 2011 and were like, dude, the Rangers got here this year, and this is amazing that we have a baseball team in Texas.
Never forget, this is a real thing. In 2010, they interviewed people across the Metroplex, and more than 10% of people in the Metroplex said the Rangers had started playing here within the last 5 years. That's a real thing that really happened when we were really in the World Series. So,
yeah, somebody's texting in, casual Rangers fans from Dallas don't even know the Rangers owner is.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And so, look, we're going to be here to try to build up the baseball content, hopefully get people fired up for the season, and hopefully the Rangers will take it from there. We're the KNC Masterpiece. Good job, Corey. I really like that segment. Right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, a lot of pressure to keep that excitement going. We'll do some NFL.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back. We're better. Let's get it.
Overreaction or reality, and my buddy's an idiot as part of the expressway. Next, right here, The Fan.
Look out for Davante Adams down here. They give it to Puka Nacua, though, and Nacua breaks tackles and gets his second touchdown. Puka Nacua having himself one heck of a day.
One heck of a day. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. I want to remind you, on Friday, we'll be doing our show live from the Dallas Cards Show, 777 Waters Creek Boulevard in Allen, if you want to come out and see us. By the way, Dallas Cards Show gets started tomorrow. But right now, I got some NFL overreaction or reality for you, and I want to start with this. Overreaction or reality. Caleb Williams is a future NFL MVP.
Reality.
Ooh.
And it's not strictly on Caleb Williams alone.
As is frequently the case, yes.
Yeah, this is definitely on him and Ben Johnson working together. The thing is, Jared Goff put up really good numbers a lot of times, but never was considered the best. You always were like, yeah, but with Jared Goff. Caleb Williams can put up even better numbers than Jared Goff, I think, once he understands the system, gets comfortable with it, and understands how it can really set up him in game. But I think because of he has this electric play opportunities, he's going to have a lot of those. He's going to be on a winning team. I think Ben Johnson is building a winning team and a winning culture in there. And so I think that, yeah, I think he's going to be in that category at some point.
Alec, overreaction or reality, Caleb Williams is a future NFL MVP.
Ooh, I'm going to go overreaction for now. I just haven't seen the level of consistency that you usually see from the MVP, but at the same time, first year in that new system, I do think he's going to get better. I just think he was born into the wrong generation of quarterback play to try and compete for that title, because the Josh Allens of the world, the Patrick Mahomeses, you start looking down those. I mean, even Justin Herbert, if they get an actual offensive coordinator in LA, that could be
an actual offensive line comes back healthy.
Exactly. Like there, I think there's a lot of other names that make more sense than him right now, but I could see him getting votes for sure.
I'm guessing this is not one of your names, but I'm going to give it a shot nonetheless. Overreaction or reality, Bryce Young can be a top 10 quarterback in the NFL.
Overreaction.
Oh.
The fact that they gave him a legitimate number one receiver, really awesome.
Yes.
He used his other receivers pretty well, too. Jalen Coker had a wonderful game against the Rams. The
go-ahead touchdown pass with 239. Well, I guess it didn't end up being the final go-ahead. But
yeah. You know. And as Greg Olson always says, if all else fails, just throw it to the tight end. But the fact that he has a legitimate number one can help. But I just don't think he's in that category. He's good. He's good, and they can get better. They definitely can get better.
Would you've got time, and I know they just picked up his option. Do you think he'll get a contract extension from the Panthers?
No.
Okay. Alec?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, because I think Canales is looking at this going, I finally got him going. But if they've learned anything from Tua, you might want to really strongly consider that more.
Okay.
I finally got him here. Is there another level, or did I max him out already?
Yeah, yeah. All right, Alec, overreaction or reality, Bryce Young can be a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. And then bonus question about the extension.
I'll go overreaction. I think he will be fringy, like top 12. Kind of that conversation that we had with Dak in the latter years of McCarthy outside of the, I don't know if you heard, Kevin, he was the runner-up for the MVP a few years
you
ago.
You know, I have heard that, yes.
So I think you could see something like that, where it's like, some weeks he's number 13, some weeks he's number 10, some weeks he's number 16. I think he's going to float around the teens area. I don't think he's going to make it inside the top 10, because I just don't think he has that ability within himself. But I think he could be like a Brock Purdy type, where it's like, man, they have a system that fits him so well, and if he just doesn't screw it up, you kind of start flirting with top 10.
Now, this is an interesting update on a question we asked either yesterday or Monday. Andrew Marchand said, while watching Romo broadcast, it looks like he doesn't do his homework. And then that brought back up the reports from a couple of years ago that CBS supposedly had an intervention with Romo over not doing his homework and not being good at broadcasting. Overreaction or reality, Tony Romo was not good at broadcasting this past weekend because he was sick, which is what he says now. He says he was sick for Bills Jaguars. Both could be true. He could have been sick and not good at broadcasting.
Sick of the work?
No, like physically ill, playing hurt.
Like the flu?
Yeah.
He didn't look the way I felt I looked whenever I had the flu, but he's a, you know, he's a prime athlete, so he probably, you know, gets affected a little differently.
Okay.
But he, I can understand that. I don't like it as an excuse. Don't show up to work then. Call in. Have somebody else do it that day.
Yeah. I bet Jim Nance will recommend that next time.
But the other, I mean, still, I didn't listen to him all season.
Yeah.
I didn't dive in and go, hey, is he that good? And I just, he's the one, Kevin, I think doesn't affect me in the game, as you talk about a lot, until the late parts of the game where he's like, here we go, Jim! And then that's about where I'm like, oh, yeah, Tony's doing this game.
Man, by the way, fun thing that I've learned during this segment, I had no idea people were so split on Bryce Young. From the 6'8", Bryce Young had no games over 300 yards. From the 4'6", he's good and he's getting better. Oh, they said one day he'll be the best? Wow. From the 817, Bryce Young can't consistently make the necessary NFL throws. He's not good enough to win consistently. From the 214, Bryce Young will be top 10. Look at the landscape and he will absolutely get a contract extension. I had no idea that there was this level of discourse around here for Bryce Young, and I like it. Overreaction or reality? The Giants hiring John Harbaugh would scare you.
We will talk a little more about, not about this in in the C block, but the thing I thought Dable could do was organize the offense and organize the team. They never did.
Yeah.
And I thought they did a miserable job of drafting offensive line. Harbaugh will go in there immediately and say, we got to fix this first. Like, that's going to be the first thing he's going to say.
Yeah.
And if they fix that offensive line, that gives Jackson Dart more time. And that scares me. They already have a good defensive front. Can they get, I think he'll be able to get some immature players to mature quickly.
Okay.
They'll have to fix the secondary. We'll see how long that takes. But, yes, honestly, Kevin, it does scare me because that could be the first time in a very long time that the head coach could have the voice to shut down the GM and maybe do something else different there. But evidently, that GM's doing a great job of trying to recruit this guy. So him being able to actually legitimately get a team built scares me.
Bonus question there. You would build your team around Jackson Dart.
Yes, and Malik Nabers, 1,000%.
Okay.
That combination is terrifying.
Alec, two-fold Giants question for you then. Overreaction reality, the Giants hiring John Harbaugh would scare you, and bonus, you would build around Jackson Dart.
Reality to the first one with a qualifier.
Oh.
If he goes Liam Cohen mode and says, get the GM out of here and I'll take the job.
Good point.
That's when I would be worried because I don't think Joe Shane, the GM of the Giants, is very good at his job at all.
I agree.
And if he goes full Liam Cohen and says, look, I love what we have in place here. I want to work with my own guy. I want to build this team with my own guy. I think they would bend to that will and say, sure. We'll fire the GM and you can bring in whoever you want because you have a vision. You've been there, done that. You've won a Super Bowl. If they do that, then yes, I am worried because I think the roster building will be a lot better. I think it'll look different. I think a different attitude will be commanded from the team. You're not going to let prime free agents walk away like Saquon Barkley for somewhat affordable deals. I think you would see massive change there. And then, yes, reality, I would build around Jackson Dart because, like Corey said, I think the combination of him and Malik Nabers, that's a lot of raw athleticism there. And that's a lot of playmaking and big playability. And those are the kind of guys that just rejuvenates a fan base. So if you are doing the overhaul of the front office and the head coach, you say, we got the hotshot new GM, and then we've got the Super Bowl winning head coach. And then we have a rookie quarterback contract on top of Malik Nabers. Like, that is how you get fans to show up wearing the jerseys and be excited again.
Don't forget, they also have Cam Don't Call Me Mike Allstott Cat Scataboo. So
yeah.
That dude will excite some people.
And you know Bobby's rooting for him not to succeed. Since you brought up Liam Cohen, Alec.
Is that how we all are as hosts or just fans in general?
100%.
Any take we have, we root against it no matter what.
And I'm telling you this, every sports fan in the history of the universe has one player that they don't like for either irrational reasons or because they took a stand at a time when, like, maybe it wasn't time to take that stand.
Go ahead and jot that segment down for sometime this week, Kevin.
Okay. All right. Let's make that happen. Corey, overreaction or reality? The Jaguars' loss proves they were fool's gold all along.
No. No. They played a good game against a good opponent. They were at home. They should have played better. But this is an opponent that I don't think, like, they're not going away easy at all. The schedule set itself up nice for Jacksonville late in the season. They grew as a team together, and I think they have more growing to do together. If they, like I said with Canales and Bryce Young, if Liam Cohen can keep his team doing the things they did to get here and then build on that, sometimes you can get stale, you can get stagnant. And sometimes you have to inject a little more. Are we growing? Right? We've had that question asked before.
Yeah.
And so I think that's where he needs to go to that next level.
Man, this I'll get to you in just one second, Alec. This continues from the 972. Bryce Young will absolutely be a top 10 quarterback in 2 years. From the 682. Bryce Young sucks and will never be top 10. And then from the 806, Bryce Young is definitely top 10 in eyebrow thickness.
No,
I've never looked at that before.
He's got very thick eyebrows. As a man who has thick eyebrows, I can tell you that.
Look that up, man.
From the 214, look at the landscape. Bryce can't even look at the landscape because he would need to be able to see
Mike.
Over the line.
Is that Mike texting in? Alec, overreaction or reality? The Jaguars' loss proved that they were fool's gold all along.
Overreaction. They weren't fool's gold. They were, like, it's the idea in my mind of they weren't wrong. They were just early. And some of that is unfortunate because Travis Hunter gets hurt and they've dealt with some stuff throughout the season where they're still trying to figure some things out, right? It's a first-year head coach. It's a new system. Trevor Lawrence was, you could see week by week, it felt like he was gaining his confidence and he was making those throws that made him feel like the second coming of football Jesus, like everybody said he was going to be coming out of Clemson. You started to see the signs of this is a legit team that has an identity now. They're just not quite there yet. And that's okay. But I think, especially for Trevor, I think they needed to make that playoff appearance. Even if he didn't have the best game of his career, he needed that. I think his confidence really needed that.
He's going to need another win soon, though, man.
Yes.
And not turning the ball over, but you just mentioned Travis Hunter. Overreaction or reality, at least for now, it is a mistake to continue to try to play Travis Hunter both ways, because their GM told reporters that the plan remains the same, offense and defense. He played 67% of the offensive snaps before he got hurt, 36% of the defensive snaps in 7 games.
Figure out what he's best at.
Okay, and go with that. At least for the time being, I'm not saying you can never
even
do it.
Even Deion didn't do it his whole career.
Sure.
Deion became a spot receiver. And didn't even do it that often whenever you were like, oh, he's going to be out there next to Michael Irvin. And he was like, I play some snaps. But if you're that good on the defensive side of the ball, which I think he is that good, put him out there and be a lockdown defense, man.
Alec, do you think it's a mistake, at least for the time being, for him to continue to do both?
It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm on the fence. I'm going to go overreaction, though. I think you keep trying it because I don't think that had any part in him getting injured.
No?
I really don't. I think those things just happen. You know, I think it was just unfortunate timing, and it is going to cause the discourse of that, right? It's just like Jackson Dart and the concussions. You know, it's like, should he stop running? Is his career only going to be 3 years long? And it's like, well, yeah, it's unfortunate that on running plays he got concussions, but...
Ooh, that is fascinating. I might agree with you more on Hunter than I do on that part.
And I would tend to lean towards that opposite side of the argument for Jackson Dart, but there's going to be the people that would say, well, he could get a concussion standing in the pocket taking a sack, too. So I think it's just unfortunate for Travis Hunter's part. I would keep trying it until history says not to, which would mean more soft tissue injuries, more ligament injuries come into play. Then I'm like, okay, he's not playing next to a power plant like George Kittle and the 49ers. This is obviously him playing both ways.
All right, can I ask you one more?
I dare you.
Oh.
I too dare you.
NFL overreaction or reality? It was a mistake for Ty Simpson to stay in the NFL draft. Now, this saga has been really interesting because he's going to go to the NFL draft, and then, ooh, you know what? Maybe not, because Miami offered him $6.5 million. Now, forget that. I'm not taking it. I'm good. I'm sticking in the draft. Ty Simpson was a backup who could not really get on the field at Alabama for 3 years. He was really good this year, but you got one whole year of Ty Simpson. Overreaction or reality, it is a mistake for Ty Simpson to stay in the NFL draft.
What's the slot for where, let's say he's a second round pick?
Yeah, then I definitely think it's a mistake.
First round pick. Was he getting paid?
Probably like $20 million, give or take.
What's wrong with that?
Well, so I hear you for sure. But I wonder...
Take the $6.5 million this year.
And see, you already start to chip away at that. Now you're like, okay, would I really, over the span of my career, or my first contract, only make, let's say, $13, $14 million more? What if all of a sudden I was able to move into the top five? Mm-hmm. Because that doesn't seem like where he would be now, but I'm just curious.
The risk also is injury and how that can affect things, too.
For sure.
He's already here. Stick with it, man.
Okay.
I did see those numbers, though, because all these other teams were like, we had an offer, too. And again, dude, if you want to go to college and enjoy the college experience and be king of campus and everybody loves you and the pressure is actually a little bit, a lot different.
Yes.
And Kevin, you know what Trent Richardson told us? I know you're like, hold on, what are you talking about, Trent? What he told me and fake Kevin was, he said, whenever we were at Alabama, everybody told you where to go, where to be, what time to do it. Somebody would come pick you up and take you there. When I got to the NFL, I didn't know how to be my own person.
Yeah.
And he said, when I got to the NFL, it was all on me. Everything's spoon-fed to you in college. Enjoy that experience. But if you're going to go ahead and get $20 million, enjoy that too.
Alec, overreaction or reality, Ty Simpson should not have stayed in the NFL draft. Although I guess theoretically he could still change his mind.
Yeah, I would go reality just from a dollars and cents point, but I do have, like, from a human element, I do have a sense of respect for him being like, I've been dreaming all my life of going to the NFL.
It's tough to argue against.
Yeah, and if it something tells me, especially when that amount of money is at play, that the agent probably got tipped off by at least one team that, yeah, you're going to be a first rounder, buddy. Like, go ahead and do it. You know, because at that point, you're just dumb to turn down that money. He has to have gotten some sort of signal, because I don't think he's going to get the Quinn Ewers slide, you know, where it's like, dude, what are you doing? You got an offer from this school to get a bazillion dollars and you're going to be, you know, a day three pick? What are you doing?
And it feels like a lot of people have slotted him as the number three quarterback in this draft. And if this draft plays out the way so many others, does that mean he's going to be a top 10 pick? Because if that's the case, now we're looking at a minimum of $26 million total on your contract. So,
yeah, this might be a smart thing for him, and especially because it is a weaker quarterback class. So maybe the desire of the position outweighs the talent here, and he gets taken a lot higher than we expect.
I think the other thing that, like, we take for granted here is they're getting a great education for what their future might be. You know, some of these guys, Kevin, they don't go on to have great football careers.
I do think you should take advantage of
that.
What
is their fallback, all right? If your fallback's underwater basket weaving, do it. You know, get the expertise in it while somebody else is willing to pay for that schooling.
Right. Look, if he was at Vanderbilt, which is the Harvard of the South, then I might feel that way. Still, I've only heard that from people who have committed to Vanderbilt. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Can you go ahead, Alec, and give me cut number one, please? Because we're going to fire up some My Buddy's an Idiot.
Gudas keeps the flow going. Granlund, Kreider, he scores! Chris Kreider joins the fun, and Anaheim breaks the ice.
This pains me to say, but are the Stars in My Buddy's an Idiot? They have lost 8 of their last 10 games, and perhaps this is the scariest part. The Stars' second and third players with the most hits this season are at 73 and 72 hits magazine. They have played 46 and 43 games. Number one on the list is still Liam Bischel with 85. He has played in 26 games.
So that's it, dude.
The person who has far and away the most hits on the Stars has played about 20 fewer games than number two and number three.
Granted, when he gets on the ice, that might be his sole job.
Yes, smash somebody and be tall.
Now, he does other things too, but yeah, but that's not a great thing. And I'm not saying here's what I am saying. People aren't scared. Sometimes you have to put the fear in the opponent that it might happen. And when he's out there, now the Stars were able to rely on their skill and their technique and Glenn Gulletson's brilliance for a while when Bischel got hurt, right?
Yeah.
And then you start to see teams going, hey, we can take advantage of this. And so they're finding pockets that they wouldn't quite find whenever Bischel's on the ice. And that's a we need him back. Love to get him soon and healthy and have him healthy for the rest of his time here. But you're right. This team does need to get on the players that can do that also, that can provide a little bit of fear. Because, Kevin, it's like if I know for a hitter, you're never going to throw inside on me, I have no fear of standing over the plate.
Yeah.
If I know that you're not going to put a hit on me, I have no fear of getting into that corner or being standing in front of a net. So that's where this is. Yes, the Stars got to figure out a way to have a little more toughness on the defensive part of their team. And for those guys finishing their checks up front.
Is the AFC North in general an idiot? Do you realize that the only coach who's kept their employment is Zach Taylor, the coach that I definitely feel like I thought was going to get fired, but Harbaugh fired, Stefanski fired, Tomlin stepping down. So only one of their four coaches kept his job, and he very well could have gotten fired as well.
Yeah, and I probably would have fired him for making the announcement that he's bringing back his entire coaching staff. I'd be like, you're a dummy.
Yeah.
No, like, we kept you because we like you. You're a good offense. Granted, he's a good offensive mind. Very good. And he's got very good talent to work with on that side of the ball. But the fact that he's like, I'm keeping the defense that stunk for the last 2.5 years, not smart. So I would have fired him once he made that announcement.
Am I an idiot for not ever doing a segment of just overreaction or reality, because having nothing to do with the NFL, because this question came in, overreaction or reality, spoon food is better than fork food. And I just love that question so much. What do you say, Corey? Spoon food is better than fork food.
I am not. I am forking a steak. All right. I'm okay. Never spooning a steak.
You're never forking ice cream.
That's true. I don't think ice cream's as good as steak.
See, and that's the brilliance of that question.
And I don't think soup is as good as steak.
You know what I thought it said at first, though, was spoon fork is better than fork fork. And I was like, man, that spoon fork is good. It's kind of a multi-tool.
It's the same thing. Oh, it's, fork fork is regular. Because
spoon
oh, gotcha,
fork
gotcha,
is
gotcha,
not the same as a
so
fork.
So the spork, it's a spork is what it's called.
Yeah.
The
or
other
a spoon.
Man, the other thing, too, I got to think about, like, is there a spoon food I like more? Cereal's good.
Oh, yeah, you can't cereal it up with a fork.
I have eaten oatmeal with a fork before because I had no other option. It's not like I'm suggesting eating oatmeal with a fork.
Of course you did. Your hand is a spoon.
Nope. It's
what God intended.
I'm not doing that.
Yeah. Why do you think we developed the spoon? Because we're like, the hand is too big.
Yeah.
If I get a miniaturized version of that, I'd hit up Sean or get a spoon.
So you think I'm willing, you guys think I'm willing to have all that oatmeal stuck to my fingers, my finger spoon.
I didn't say it was the best system.
You just said it's an option.
Okay. Yeah, exactly.
Man, this one, look, this is this has me bewildered.
Okay.
And I appreciate it. I'm going to have to get a knife and cut through this.
All right. We'll have to figure this out another day. All right. The Steelers. Probably the Raiders, too. Are the Steelers idiots? We've talked about it. They have 7 straight playoff losses, longest in franchise history, tied for the longest losing streak in NFL playoff history. After the game... Oh, this is tough. After the game, TJ Watt was asked about like changes being made and how the Steelers can turn it around. And he said, quote, "I haven't had the answer for a long time, so don't ask me." Damn.
Dang.
Have they broken his spirit?
Who was the coach? Was it John Harbaugh or Jim that had the, it was Jim, right? Who was like, "Hey, I got answers to everything except for this offensive coordinator situation. I don't know about that
he's
yet."
Like, he was like, "I don't know if I have the answer for you right now." Which, if you're the other coach, you're like, "Ooh,
yeah,
that's not good."
And then he got fired.
He did.
So he had an answer. He just didn't want to tell everybody.
And then from the 817, anything you can eat with a fork, you can eat with a spoon.
No.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, that feels like big advantage spoon right there.
But that didn't mean I like it more. I agree with the person that said we need to just go ahead and eat chopped with chopsticks. Chopsticks are fantastic.
No.
Yeah.
Except for I can't eat soup with chopsticks, which I'm okay with.
Checkmate.
Soup's not that good.
Or cereal.
Soup's kind of overrated.
Oh, do you think cereal and ice cream are overrated?
I don't know how often I eat cereal, honestly. Whenever I do have a nice bowl of Cinnamon Toast Crunch or Cinnamon Chex, I'm very happy about that. Ice cream, dude, I'll be honest.
Oh, are you coming around to my opinion?
I might just hand an ice cream scoop.
Oh,
I'm okay with that.
Fascinating.
You know what? Put ice cream on a stick and I'll eat it as a popsicle. I'm perfectly all right with that.
Oh, Corey from the 469. Why do they say you were born with a silver spoon and not a silver fork?
I don't know.
That
I wasn't there when they made
point.
Up that thing.
That is a great
Nobody
point.
Was around whenever that saying was created.
What do you mean? Who created the saying then? Somebody.
Mm-hmm. But nobody is alive still.
No, but they were. If somebody came up with it and they said it about some other person. So there's at least 2 people.
That person's probably dead too.
Adam didn't go, "Yeah, I was born with a silver spoon in my mouth."
But he's like, dead now.
That's...
Allegedly.
What does that mean?
What if he's still among us?
No, he's dead.
But he's still in our DNA, right? Because we're all...
Hey, if we can't figure out the spoon and fork question, what in the world makes you think we could figure out a DNA question on this show? We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, more with Mr. Wizard as it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Who would be the one that would sell you your dream job?
Is that called a big and small fork?
Next on The Fan.
It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.